You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's not the kind of aircraft you typically associate it with Willow Run Airport. Instead of the two-seater plane or small charter jets, a Boeing 747 was parked there until last year. It belonged to Baltia Airlines. What is a Baltia Airlines, you ask? It's the world's oldest startup airline, and it's never taken a single passenger anywhere. Michigan Radio web producer Menachem Kaiser is here with us now with the bizarre story of Baltia Airlines. And before we talk about how that 747 wound up sitting at Willow Run, tell us, when was Baltia founded and who was the founder?
The airline was founded in 1989 by a Latvian immigrant named Igor Dimitrovsky.
So 1989, so we're looking at almost 30 years ago. And I looked up on their website, on Baltia's website, and it talks about being headquartered at JFK and a base of operations at Willow Run and concierge service and the Golden Rooster Club for first class passengers. And then I'm going to quote them here. Baltia's goal is to become the leading U.S. airline in the transatlantic market between the major U.S. cities and capital cities of Europe. Baltia will provide high quality passenger service and reliable cargo and mail transportation. What has actually happened in the 27 years since Baltia was founded?
Not much. In terms of taking off, from 1989 till about 2009, they didn't have a plane. So they tried to get this startup airline for about, that was, you know, raising funds, trying FAA regulations. In 2009, they bought that first plane.
The 747, yeah.
Well, that was the first plane. The second plane is the one that was at Willow Run Airport. Mm-hmm. And since then, they failed FAA regulations 7 times.
FAA tested them and they weren't able to?
FAA tested them in Michigan at Willow Run 7 times and they failed each time.
So they have not taken anybody anywhere in this 27 years.
Oh, they've never sold a seat.
It's a very viable looking website when you look on it. So how does a company that people invested in, that you discovered is still raising capital, how do they spend 27 years getting nowhere?
It's a good question. It's a tough question. We don't know. So I didn't speak to any of the Baltia executives. None of them wanted to talk to me. It does seem like they tried. You know, they tried. They tried really hard to be an airline. I don't want to take that away from them. But, you know, either through some sort of combination of negligence or kind of ignorance or and bad luck, it just didn't get anywhere. But they raised a lot of money.
Yeah, and had a lot of investors. How much money?
They incurred a deficit from 1989 till today of about $120 million.
And revenue?
Zero.
Zero. Well, then let's talk about this, because as you kind of looked around and tried to get people to talk to you, and as you read the story, it's the top story right now at MichiganRadio.org, a lot of people didn't want to return phone calls. But you discovered something that you kind of said is the strange world of Baltia shareholders. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so these are penny stock investors. So they're not listed on something like the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange. So that there's anything under a dollar. Baltia stock is trading right now at, I believe, 0.0004 cents a share. So these goes on the penny stock, and there's communities that surround this stock and a lot of other penny stocks that get very fierce, let's call it.
Okay.
The pitch is very high. People are very feverish about that stock. A small fluctuation, if it went to 0.01 cent, suppose, that would mean enormous, enormous change in market value. So there is, in theory, an opportunity to make a lot of money on a penny stock. It doesn't happen very often.
And you found there are people still very much supporting
very much.
And people who want to hurl mud.
There's a whole community of people who kind of defend it. Most of them are investors, are shareholders, but they kind of believe that Baltia Airlines is on the cusp of kind of coming through and will still make the money. And like the narrative is very much they got screwed over at every turn. They've been faced with bad luck or maybe a corrupt FAA. And some of them still believe that it might make money.
That our day will come. And then what about the other side?
The other side seem to be, they're bitter. I wouldn't even call them cynical. They're just kind of, they've been burned.
Like how much money were people losing?
You know, so I've spoken to people who lost $2,000, and there are people out there who lost millions of dollars. But I spoke to many people who lost tens of thousands of dollars.
And just kind of interesting, just deflated, but not necessarily bitter and angry.
You know, some of the people were, I would call them, more knowledgeable investors, and they understood the risks they were taking. But the majority of people I spoke to you know, you don't know. You don't know what was going on.
Now, is the founder, is he from Michigan? I guess I'm wondering, how did that 747 wind up sitting at Willow Run?
No, he's from Latvia originally. He immigrated to the States in the 80s. He founded a large dairy distribution company. They ended up in Willow Run. It seems from everyone I spoke to, they suggested that FAA certification would be easier to obtain in Michigan than it would be in JFK.
So there they were. So when did they come to Willow Run?
They moved to Willow Run in like 2010, 2011, okay. I believe.
And then I saw in your story they actually really kind of amped up their presence, promoted the big air show.
Yeah. Within the pro-Baltia narrative, let's say, it seemed that FAA certification was imminent. So once that happened, they seemed on the cusp of becoming a viable international airline. They did have rights. They did have the fly rights to go from JFK to St. Petersburg, which are valuable in its own, a nonstop service. So they kind of promoted themselves. They got a lot of attention. A lot of local people kind of noticed them. A lot of the investors I spoke to are actually from Michigan who were at either the air show or they live near Ypsilanti, and they noticed the 747 and got interested like that.
And so put some money up. So the idea was, let's go to St. Petersburg. Let's go to some of these underserved Baltic cities.
Yeah.
And yet it's never happened. And the SEC also took notice of Baltia Airlines, did it not?
Yes, very much. The big one was this year in March, the vice president of finance, a man named Barry Clare, was charged by the SEC for illegally pushing stock. So he was acting as a broker, an in-house broker, which is illegal according to SEC.
So what do we have? What's the takeaway besides the fact don't believe everything you see on a company website? Because when you go on that website, it just says, well, we're waiting for FCC certification. But by the way, we have the Golden Rooster Club and we'll have concierge service and all of these great things. But what is the takeaway here?
It's a good question. It's hard to know. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to know when, with these companies that are kind of so opaque to an investor. And those people will believe, they will cling to their beliefs no matter what, even when it's their money on the line. That narrative, it lasts. It's a stubborn, very stubborn narrative, but I don't want to be cynical about it. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know the real answers. I wouldn't accuse anyone necessarily, but
it's a bizarre story.
There's belief. And when there's belief, belief is hard to move.
Interesting. Well, you can go to michiganradio.org, and the story is there with some video, photo, some audio, and it does tell quite an interesting and convoluted tale of apparently broken dreams. Michigan Radio web producer Menachem Kaiser, thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Such a pleasure.